Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Section 314 Podcast. My name is Sam, and as always, my co-host Maggie. And today we got special guests, Gateway Grinders, Adam and Tom, joining us on the podcast. Welcome, guys. And I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you for your time. Thank you so much for hopping on the podcast. It's a pleasure. I love your guys' content. I'm sure the rest of St. Louis does as well. And it's great to see you guys here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Happy to talk some blues.
Yeah, Sam, we've been looking forward to this. I know you may tell your listeners kind of how we ran into each other at a Blues Blackhawks game on the train, but yeah, small world, and then now we're talking some puck, so happy to be here, and thanks for the invite.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys had a good Thanksgiving with, you know, beating the crap out of the Rangers and then winning against the getting a shutout against the Devils, and now we're back to Blues hockey and with a overtime loss last night against the Flyers. So let's just break down, like, I guess our last episode, we recorded it right before the Rangers game, so we couldn't really talk about it yet. So I guess let's break down the Rangers game, the Devils game, and then last night's, you know, close loss against the Flyers. What did you guys see out of the Rangers game, in your opinion?
So was the Rangers the first game Monty was taking over?
Yeah, I believe mm-hmm. so.
So from my perspective, once he came in, that was the best Blues team I've seen in a long time. I know we posted a stat that was the most shots the Blues have had all year with 43. So it was just such a more offensively focused team. And one clip I saw that was pretty funny was Buchnevich kind of ragging how old school and dump and chase Bannister was, and he didn't directly call him out, but he was calling him out. So it was such a unique shift to see how we were entering the zone, and it was just an offensive, completely different team. So that was really promising to see, and a great win under the new coach of Monty.
So yeah, I think every time that a team gets a new coach, that first game, you just see a completely different team. You just see the guys play for each other more, and you see a lot more motivation. And I think, like, just looking at the players that Bannister sort of didn't necessarily play the most or get along with the best, primarily saying Buchnevich. And then what I really liked seeing the first game was Zach Bolduc, who's one of our most promising young guys, that was just not getting a lot of puck time. He was a healthy scratch like every other game. And he scored two goals in his first game with Montgomery. So that's really exciting to see. And yeah, very excited about that start.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we were saying on the podcast, Maggie and I were saying on the podcast, you know, before in a previous episode, I believe, we were just saying, like, you know, we got these young guys coming up, you know, you got Zach Bolduc, you know, and other players. It's like those types of guys, you know, they're good players. They have good potential. And if you're, you know, you're sending them every other game, or, you know, you're giving them a very small amount of minutes per game, it's like we need the, you know, we got Steen coming in as GM in the next few years, and we got all these young guys coming up. It's like we need to give these guys this time now in these rebuild years, give them that experience, build them up a little bit, so that, you know, in the next few years, when all these other younger players are coming up with them together, they can be a solid team and a cup contending team. And when you're just kind of doing what you're doing, you know, as Bannister did, you're not going to produce very much results.
And we have to be realistic where we are at our state of the franchise. It felt like Bannister was playing for his job most of this year, kind of knowing that he's on the hot seat, that, hey, you know, Armin Steen sat him down and said, hey, we're looking to make the playoffs this year, anything short of that, and, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with you. I think it's really nice that Montgomery signed to a 5-year deal, so he does not have to, like, say, hey, I need to win this year, I need to play all of the veteran players. He can be, okay, like, I'm looking where this team is going in the next 2 years, the next 3 years. How can I get positive momentum towards that? So I think just having that job security for Montgomery that, hey, this is your and Alexander Steen's franchise for the next 5 years, I think is really going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah, totally.
Especially with how much the city of St. Louis respects Monty. I think everybody was super hyped that he was brought back. I know I was. As soon as the Bruins fired him, I was like, oh, I hope Army goes and gets him. but then I couldn't see him pulling that trigger. So when I woke up the other day seeing that they fired Bannister, I was like, okay, well, I would have never bet on that for sure. I would have lost all my money. But yeah, I'm super hyped about Monty being the coach and him and Steen for the long run. You can already tell, like, the boys are playing well under him and respect him. I don't think that they respected Bannister.
So. And it definitely showed, you know, in the next, you know, we got that win against the Rangers, which was solid. And then you go into Jersey, who and you get a 3-0 shutout. You know, I think we had an explosive start to the game. We played really fast. I think we had a better defensive play. I think we were able to cover, you know, I think we were able to mark our guys better on the penalty kill rather than other games. And then, you know, now you got, you know, Holloway being kind of shown a little bit more, and he's obviously Holloway. He's a great player. He's a great addition, and it's starting to show a little bit more now that we're making better use of our players under the new coach. And then later in the second period, naturally, the you know getting that 2-3 goal lead that we had already in the first period, the Devils brought some pressure in the second period naturally, and then we did a good job of holding them off. And then I think what I liked in that game a lot is that was a great sign that, you know, we're getting better, is we got the puck out quickly in out of our defensive zone. And that's what I think we had problems with in previous games. It's basically, you know, it's as close to a perfect game as you can get, just about.
So I think it's so special that Bennington breaks the franchise record and it's a shutout. Like, I felt like that was just so deserved. That, you know, for that special game, it's just a dominant performance. 32 saves. And yeah, just got to be happy for him. And I know he's worked his ass off these past 5 or 6 years. So seeing him get that. A question I want to pose to you guys is, do you think Bennington gets a statue outside of Enterprise Center?
I don't know. That's my take is it's like, Maggie, I'm going to think on this one. Maggie, are you ready to answer that?
Yeah. I personally think yes, and I hope so, especially with him having the highest record. That would be an honor and just great tribute to him and everything that he has done for the Blues. I mean, coming in and winning a Stanley Cup in your first season and now hitting the franchise leading like win record is in what, less than 300 games or whatever. I think they'll have a statue. If not, I'll be disappointed. But if they do, I'm coming back and I'm going to see it.
All right. So I said I had to think about it because I'm very bad at answering things like on the spot. I need to think about it and I need to make sure I give a good answer. but yeah, I think, you know, he's coming in, you know, he's a rookie goalie. He brings you a Stanley. He turns your season around entirely, like, and then he brings you a Stanley Cup. And now here he is, you know, a couple years later, and he's got the best. He's got the most wins as your franchise goalie, and you know he's still like, and it's like it's not like, oh, he's going to be done after this year or something like that. You know, oh, it's like it's his career is coming to an end. Like, no, he's playing at the top of his game right now, and there's a lot more to come. There's a lot more wins to come, and there's definitely, you know, potential for another cup run with him, with his caliber of play. And so I think that could definitely, you know, he does, you know, another big thing, and it's definitely, you know, statue worthy for the city of St. Louis.
Now, I'm not a fan of the Benner haters, for real. Like, the stuff that he's done over, like, the last couple of years, I just feel like that's, like, passion for his game, and that might just be how he is putting it there. I'm a big fan of Benner.
His stuff is, I mean, if you watched college football yesterday, his stuff is child's play compared to what we saw yesterday in college football games, where it's like three different fights breaking out because of the rivalry. I'm like, I love that. I love that fire. I love that kind of stuff.
Well, I kind of think it's his shtick. Like, I think it's like, does he actually feel that way every time that he wants to fight the opposing goalie or fight the ref or anything? No. But he knows that it's going to fire the boys up. He knows that, hey, I got to be the heart and soul of this hockey team because he's really one of the main guys left over from the cup run, and he is a veteran on this team now. And when I think of the heart and soul of the Blues franchise, I hate to say it, but I don't see Jordan Kyrou as that guy. Robert Thomas seems a little more reserved to me. It seems like Jordan Binnington is that guy in that locker room that people respect and that people look to draw motivation from.
And even if that stuff is, like, you know, staged, or it's just him trying to get, you know, a rise out of, like, the opponent, or, you know, trying to get the energy up for the boys, it's like, you know, it's smart. It looks like he's content when he does it, at least, when you actually, like, sit down and think about it. Like, I love it. Like, even if it's real, or it's, you know, it's just trying to, like, poke the bear, it's good. It's good strategy, you know, to help get that energy going for your team. Regardless. For sure.
I saw an interesting clip of last night on the late shift with Andy Strickland. Binnington was on, and Andy asked him about kind of the antics we saw early on in his career, where every other fan base kind of went after him and said, like, he was a big talking point for every other fan base. And he was asking if he's kind of been more reserved lately because he hasn't gotten in any kind of questionable brawl or fighting after the play recently. And Binnington stated that a lot of the times early in his career when he would get in those skirmishes, in his mind, it was to kind of help the flow of the game. And if we were down, kind of help fire up the team. So, but he said that's always been just in his mind. And it's hard to kind of pick that up as a fan just watching the game when you see a goalie going after a guy is kind of crashing the net. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It will be interesting to see if he kind of steers away from that, because at the end of that question, he did say it's not a new Binnington. That's just kind of who he is. So it'll be interesting to see how laid back he is when people come across the crease.
He's a father now. He's more reserved.
For sure. Yeah.
He's got to set a good example for little Johnny.
Right. And then we had last night's game. So, you know, we had that Flyers game that was stellar, you know, Monty's 2-0, and then Thanksgiving break. And then you come in last night with the Flyers in town with an overtime loss. And I thought, like, I think I was telling Maggie this earlier before we hopped on the pod. We were testing our mics and stuff. I think it was just like fundamental stuff, like turnovers and bad passing is basically what killed your game. And it all started in the first period. It just seemed like, you know, we had the Flyers had breakaways that, you know, thankfully Binnington came in clutch to save us. And then we also, I feel like we had a couple of breakaways where we could have gotten a goal, or we had like one or two on ones going where we couldn't put the puck away. And those were just like the differences of the game. Cause like that first period, it was a rocky start for us, but then like the second and third period came around and it started becoming more of like an even matched game at that point, which we probably should have had more goals than what was shown, but that's it. And then it just turned into a great late third period goal with a weird turnover again with a breakaway to lose the game in overtime, in which at that point it's like in overtime it could have gone either way, you know, just a lucky bounce.
For sure, yeah. I was going to say about that game, it's a lot of people say, especially hockey, there's only wins and losses. There's no moral victories. But that was the most impressive overtime loss I've seen in a long time. Just the Flyers were playing so much better and so much faster and crisper than us from puck drop, and we couldn't get a shot off until 11 minutes left in the first period. Right. So that was very inspiring to see that they gave up an early goal, which was not Binnington's fault at all. That was just a perfect backdoor pass. And then they fought back to tie the game in the third and then gave up the second goal, unfortunately, right after that, but still fought back. And Neighbors tied it up with 18 seconds left. So
yeah, just sneaked right over the arm there to put it away on that rebound.
100%. Yeah, that was one of the most exhilarating games I've seen in a long time. If obviously, we would have loved to cap it off in overtime there, but that was one hell of a hard-fought point that we earned last night.
And even, like, you know, like, yeah, it sucked, we lost in overtime or whatever, but it's like that towards the end of that game, it was like, okay, like, yeah, that loss sucked, but it was like, it was very promising to say, okay, like, we still have we can still progress and we can still move forward, and there's definitely There's definitely room for improvement, and there's still light at the end of the tunnel after that game. Like, it's not like, oh man, we're back to the old Blues. Like, no, it's like we played a solid, we had a solid ending to that game that we can take into this four-game road trip coming up in Canada.
Yeah, I feel like if there's anything such as a moral victory, I think that's one of them. Obviously, getting a point is nice, but I think just showing that fight, tying it up with 20 seconds left, like, that's, I'm sorry, but I don't know if Bannister teams are tying that up. Like, I don't know if he's pulling the right strings. And obviously, you know, getting that power play with 2 minutes left was massive. And yeah, I think going 2-0-1 in his first three games with the Blues is pretty impressive. And, you know, gotta be happy about that.
Nothing better than the neighbors getting that goal too. He's one hell of a player, and I am so excited to watch him in the next couple of years break out. I think he will. I mean, he is doing great. I think he had that better breakout than Kyrou has not had. But yeah, that's just a reward to neighbors for working hard in front of the net every night, and I was just glad to see him get rewarded.
What do you guys think of Robert Thomas so far this season and where he's at right now? It's like, do you think he's going to get better? Do you think he's going to get worse? Where do you see him right now, like, in your eyes?
In my eyes, Robert Thomas, outside of Bennington, is easily a top three player on our team, if not the most important player on the offensive side. Him and Kyrou have, like, the best chemistry I've seen out of two skill forwards on the Blues in a long time. So what I've seen out of Robert Thomas is he's still the facilitator, and he's going to rack up points left and right, but he's also not so hesitant to shoot the puck when he has the opportunities, because there were so many times last year where he was so pass first, which I believe he still is, but he's also taken in a semi-goal scoring role as well. So Robert Thomas has had, if I had to grade him, pretty close to an A-plus or an A start to the season.
What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, you know, I think you just look at how it affected the team when he was out. So he's only played, 13 games so far this year. But when you just look at how, like, we just didn't seem to be playing as crisp, as fast, as kind of put together, it seemed like not having him in that 1C position just kind of threw the whole team off, threw the power play off, threw us off on the faceoff dot. And I think when you look beyond the box score, just how the team looked without your best player, you really see how much you miss him. So I think it's going to take him a few more weeks to get back up to speed. But I think, like, originally his injury was supposed to be 2 or 3 weeks longer than when he actually returned. So he was way ahead of time. Same thing for Broberg too. So yeah, I think Robert Thomas is going to get back to where he was last year. I mean, he was a 26 goal scorer, 60 assists. I think he was the first Blue in like over 20 or 25 years to score at least 85 points last year. I mean, averaging over a point a game. Players like that don't just grow on trees. So I think Robert Thomas is he's going to be that guy. He's going to be that guy.
And I think just overall, like, we're getting there. Like, the wins, the points, the power play, the lines we need to have the most production. We're getting there. Like, it's only been 3 games with Monty as our coach, and I think we're gonna get more. You know, through the next, you know, month or so, we're gonna get more progression from, you know, Thomas, Kyrou, et cetera, and have better progression. I think it's definitely going to be a positive outlook for the upcoming future for our team once we get the ball rolling here under this new management and and the new lines that we can find for the best result. Maggie, what do you think of we got the 4-game road trip now in Canada. What are your thoughts?
Okay, let me see who we're playing real quick, because
we've got the Jets, the Flames, the Oilers, and the Canucks.
Okay, Winnipeg, I believe that we can beat. I believe that we could have beat them the first time we played them, and that was under Bannister. I think that will that will be a close game, but I'm hoping we win. And then who else do we have? We have the Oilers, Canucks.
Yeah, we have the Jets at 36 points, the Flames at 28 points, the Oilers at 28 points, and the Canucks at 27 points.
I don't know too much about the Flames this season, to be honest. I haven't been watching them a lot, but I'm pulling for the Blues to win. Oilers, they have Kasperi Kapanen on the first line. Wild to me. My dad's a big Connor McDavid fan, so he always has the Oilers games on. He had them on this week when I was back in Illinois. Oilers are decent, but I don't think they have what it takes to go back to the Stanley Cup this season.
It's so you if you get there to the Stanley Cup final and then you lose, or like even if you win, like win or lose, if you go to that Stanley Cup final, coming back to that is probably so hard the next season.
Yeah, I think also just they have not been playing well together. They've kind of been they kind of look like the Blues in a way this season. I would put the Blues, Bruins, Oilers kind of in the same, but I think Blues are on top of those three. Canucks have a really good team. I love watching the Canucks. I'm also a big Dakota Joshua fan. Super happy that he's back. So I think the road trip could be pretty difficult. But I'm hoping that the Blues at least win three of the four. I'm saying maybe win not a win against Winnipeg. But last time we talked, I said 0-3 on the Canadian road trip, and I think we went like 1-1-1 or 1-2. So I'm gonna go 3-4.
I think having like a solid, you know, three or four game, you know, if you can get like three wins, or if you can get 2-4-6-8, if you can get like maybe like 5-6 out of 8 points at least, and I think you can, that's like a way to like make a statement for this team going into this like 4-game road trip, like with your new coach.
Yeah, this is
against,
a big
against like trip. Against decent teams, you know, and now that we have a much, I feel like we have a better team right now, it's doable. And if you can come out with, you know, two to four wins at least, like you can say like, all right, we got something going here. We can beat these, you know, better teams. We can do something with this franchise, and it'll spark something for this team, hopefully. What do you guys think, Tom and Adam?
So, yeah.
Go ahead, Adam.
Or I was just going to say, so going back to the Kapanen, I thought it was really funny that they picked him up sort of as a retribution against the offer sheets. So I'd be looking for Broberg and Holloway just to have a little extra chip on their shoulder there. I think going back to what Maggie was saying about just how going to the cup final, you always see it a hangover the next year. Like the Oilers record, they're only, what, like 13-9. It's not like they're lighting the league on fire like they did last year. It's just such a gruel and grinding thing to go through 7 games. I think they went 7 games like almost every playoff series. Last playoffs too, and then obviously they lost Game 7 in a heartbreaker. But yeah, I would really look forward to us beating them. I think we'll just have a little extra motivation there. I think realistically, I would expect a 2-2 split there because the Jets are just on fire this season, and Canucks and Flames aren't too shabby either. But I think if you can go 2-2 on a road trip, and I don't know if it's the dad's trip, because it feels like they usually do the dad's trip in Canada. Yeah, I'd be happy just to go 500 and get back on home soil after that.
Yeah, completely agree. Eight points up for grabs. I think if you get four, you're very happy. Anything more than that, you're ecstatic, because the Jets are tied for first in the NHL, and then the other three Canadian teams are top 13, 12, and 11 in the league. So yeah, I think 4 points is kind of the goal out of this road trip. And just an interesting point I kind of had last night after the Blues game, I threw on the Oilers and Avalanche game. And last year when I would watch those two teams, I would say to myself, the Blues couldn't beat these guys if they played them 20 times. It was just a completely different league. But last night after the Blues, again, moral victory loss in overtime, but they just had so much more promise and grit to them and skill. So I was watching the Oilers and Avalanche and kind of saw that we could hang with the more skilled teams and teams that have won a cup or just went to the cup final. So I'm very excited to see how these four games play out in Canada.
And that's also, like, to me, like, that's the first indicator where you're like, okay, you got something going here with your team. And to me, that's speed. That keyword is speed. That's like, that's when, that's the telltale sign where I'm like, okay, like, we're cooking right now. That's what I think. And you were talking, Adam, you were talking about like the dad's trip that reminded me. That's how we met each other in person. The Blues, it was like 2 years ago, I think. And the Blues had a road trip. It was like Vegas, Colorado, Chicago. And then I went to the game in Colorado. The Blues won there against the Avalanche. And then 2 days later, the Blues were in Chicago. And I think it was like the Mother's Trip, I think is what it was, for that away series, that trip. It was a Mother's Trip for the Blues. And then 2 days later, they were in Chicago at United Center. And then I texted my cousin. I was like, hey, dude, I actually have some days off, and I might just fly up to Chicago and go to the game. Would you want to come with me? And he's like, yeah, dude, I'm free. Let's do it. And so we went, and then next thing you know, after the game, we ran into you guys on the train. So I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, small world. It's you could be in any city in America or Canada and watching a Blues game, and if you see somebody wearing the note and you just say, let's go Blues, it's very likely you can strike up a conversation and say, what part of St. Louis are you from, or are you just outside Illinois? Like, how did you become a Blues fan? So, yeah, that's
exactly. Yeah,
very fun how we ran into each other there after that game.
excuse me. Yeah, so we got this four-game road trip coming up. And then, we got, like, one game at home against the Sharks. Then we immediately go on the road to Dallas, I think. Yeah, Dallas. But yeah, then we got Rangers and Devils again, but at home. So Lightning, Panthers. So it's a lot of tough tests here, but I think, you know, like if you asked me like a month ago, like, oh, like this is going to be a complete disaster. But then, you know, after the last few games, I'm thinking like, you know, we can just give us some time, just give us some chances. I think we can make something happen here in this next month of play to kind of put us in a spot to where, you know, it's like, you know, the end of the year is here. You got January coming up, and that's kind of where you, like, you want to start your push for the playoff spot. And I think if we can have a solid December, which I think we're starting to get to that point, starting to kind of get the gears moving, then we can probably maybe make something happen if we can have a solid December. And I think it can be done.
So a question I have for you guys is, if you had to put a percentage that the Blues made the playoffs, what number would you say and why?
So you're looking at the Jets right now in the Central Division at 36 points, and the Blues are, let's see, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The Blues are 6th out of 8 in the Central Division with only 24 points. But, you know, I was telling Maggie in a previous episode, like, obviously, like, the Jets and the Wild and the Stars are pretty solid, but the Avs and Utah, like, they haven't been super elite or anything like that. You know, they've been off and on. They've been having problems of their own. You know, Utah's new hockey club, still trying to get things going. The Avalanche, they've had, like, goalie problems and stuff, and I think they lost the Oilers last night, right?
Mm-hmm. 4-1.
Yeah. So, and the Blues, I mean, they're 12 points out of first right now, but there's still a tons of hockey left, so anything can really happen. But I think, you know, we're not too far away from, I'd say a percentage wise, I would say we have, I would say 40% chance of making the playoffs.
I don't have a percentage, but I'm gonna say the Blues get a wild card spot, and I could see, I'm looking at the teams right now, and I honestly could see anyone as San Jose Sharks make a wild card spot. Seattle hasn't been that great. Colorado hasn't been that great. I could see St. Louis and Vancouver getting those two wild card spots, or Vancouver moving up over Edmonton. I can't believe Edmonton's in third in the Pacific. But I can't give you a percentage, but I definitely think Blues will be in a wild card spot.
I follow Money Puck pretty closely throughout the season, and to see where they rank us, because I think they are pretty accurate. And right now, at the time of recording this, they give us an 8.4% chance of just making the playoffs. And I'm normally on the very, very high end of our chances to make the playoffs. And with the team we have now and the promise we've showed over the last couple games with Monty in charge, I think we have about a coin flips chance, a 50-50 shot to make the playoffs. And I think that's kind of our ceiling, just making the playoffs. I don't know how far we can go past that, but that would be an incredible year, just getting into the playoffs for the St. Louis Blues this year.
Yep.
Do you guys, this is a question for everybody here. Do you think the Blues go on a cup run? Like, we're talking like Western Conference final / Stanley Cup final appearance under like the Steen, Alexander Steen GM period. Like, once we get all those younger guys, like Jimmy Snuggerudes, like Zach Boldix and all those younger guys, do you think the Blues can go on a cup run like in like the first maybe like 3 to 5 years of Steen's like GM period?
So I absolutely do. I think, just kind of looking at our window, I don't think it's this year or next year, but in 2 years, 3 years, once we get all these guys, like we have like 15 people under the age of 25 that are either like first round or second round draft picks. So we have a lot of good players coming through the pipeline. When you think of, you know, when we had those 3 first round picks, when we have Lindstein, when we have Stenberg, when we have Dvorsky, when we have Zach Dean, Snuggerud, and I am really optimistic about the future. I think we have to clear out some of these bad contracts. Not having Torrey Krug here this year is huge for that. It allows us to do the offer sheets, which is going to help the future a lot. So I would say in 2 or 3 years, you know, Binnington at that time is kind of going to be, you know, in at the middle of his prime. And I think that's going to be when our window truly opens up. But I think giving the boys a couple years under Monty and really getting a good system down is going to set us up to be a powerhouse. And I think, you know, it took a little too long for Doug Armstrong to sort of throw in the towel and say, hey, we need to retool. I think it was really massive that he sold Ryan O'Reilly and Barbashev and some of those other guys that passed off season and got 3 first-round picks. So I think he threw in the towel at the right time and just said, hey, this isn't the team. We need a complete revamping. And now we have a new coach. We have a new GM in waiting that, you know, is just learning under the, in my eyes, the best GM in the NHL. And I'm really optimistic about the future.
And what I think is going to be very helpful, it's not just, you know, it's not just the players, it's not just the talent, it's not just the chemistry or the lines. It's like, you know, we got all these younger players coming up. You need to also have the right type of game style and system that you work with in this modern day NHL league. Like, you can't just play the type of hockey from, you know, 5, 7 years ago or whatever. Like, you need to progress, you need to update, you need to refresh and make sure you're playing a system that can beat top caliber teams in today's league.
Agree, Sam. And to go back to your original question, to go on a cup run, I absolutely think we will within 5 years, like Adam said. I think it's without a doubt we will make one Western Conference Finals within the next 5 years. That's how optimistic I am with the direction of our team right now. And then once you get to those games, we have a proven goalie that's done it before, and we have a couple guys left over from the 2019 Cup run that have the experience. So I'm very optimistic that we will go on another run like we did the greatest year in hockey history in 2019.
Maggie, do you have anything else to add to that?
I do not, but I do have a question for you guys. Do you think we'll see Dvorsky anytime this season?
I think it would take like a massive injury to one of our stars. Like, say, I don't know, Kyrou's out for the year and Dvorsky's tearing it up. And I think he's playing really well so far. But I think, especially when you look at this state of where our franchise is, you need that guy to have consistent playing time, because it's just going to shoot his confidence if you're sitting him every other night, like we saw with Bull Duke. So I think you only bring him up if you're going to say, hey, you know, we're trying it out. If it works, it works. If not, at least you're getting consistent playing time. So I could see us doing that, especially if we fall out of the playoff race too. And we're just like, hey, we need to see the young guys play. So that would be my guess.
I think that's pretty much wraps it up here. I think we've pretty much talked about what needs to be talked about, and we've covered the last few games and stuff like that, and the upcoming road trip. Do you guys have anything else to add before we get out of here?
I had a fantastic time. I think kind of talking through it, I think just to say the franchise right now, I'm a lot more optimistic than I was 6 months ago. So, you know, an arm scene we trust, right?
Yeah, exactly. again, one last time, I want to, thank you guys for, reaching back out to me, coming on the show, taking time out of your Sunday to come hang out and talk Blues hockey. You know, it means the world to us. We do appreciate it so much. So go ahead and spread the word for this new podcast to your St. Louis Blues friends or family or, whoever. this is Gateway Grinders that joined us today. We thank them so much for joining us. Thank you for listening, and don't hesitate to stop by again to eat, relax, and take a load off of life. And until the ice is clean again, we'll see you all very soon. Section 314, your favorite online tailgate.